Well, our moms think we're funny.
All right. Hey, everyone. I'm Akomi. I'm still just waiting for Turk to get into the office. Yeah, you usually, like, he's already in, like, way before I show up, but have not seen anything out of him today. Like, it's kind of weird, but yeah, just figured I'd at least get the recording going. That way, you know, we'll be good to go once he gets here. Oh, shit, hold on. I actually got a text from him. Oh. Let's see. Akomi, help. I'm being held for ransom. I'm being held hostage by Somalian pirates. Oh, okay. Okay, well, I should probably address that. I should probably, get involved with that, but at the same time, I feel like it would be some really good personal character development if, you know, I kind of let him get out of that himself, you know? He's never really going to develop as a person if I'm there to bail him out of every problem that he ever has, then, you know, how's he ever going to grow? So, damn, okay, I guess I'm just doing the podcast solo today. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode. Of course, last time I did one, Turk did say that it sounded like I was on cocaine because of how much I was sniffling. But I can do this. I maybe gotta sip a little alcohol here to kind of loosen up. But, you know, I used to do solo content before collaborating with Turk. I got this. So, wow. My own podcast. I can really have some fun with this. Well, since Turk is apparently negotiating things with Somalian pirates, I just gotta do whatever I want with this. So I'm gonna start this off with an embarrassing bit of trivia. Turk doesn't want people to know this, but Turk is actually not his real name. His real name is Turkey. He just shortens it to Turk, so it's actually Turkey 182. So I just wanted that to go on the record, since he's not here to try to be like, Kobe lied, you know. There you go. Now the truth is out there. So what shall we do with our solo episode? I mean, I've kind of been brainstorming it. I think what I want to do here, you know, some people do visual podcasts, you know, they'll do video-based podcasts like Creepcast does that. I think towards the end of things, Super Mega was doing that. We're not a visual-based podcast, you know, we've just never really made the full commitment to going on camera. So, you know, there's not a lot we can do visually, but something I was thinking about doing is, you know, the long-time listeners of the podcast know that we have our Let's Watches. And the intention of that is, you know, we pull up a movie and it's up to you, the listener, to pull up that movie with us. And then it's like, we're watching a movie together. It's really cool. So I thought, instead of doing a Let's Watch, perhaps today I could do sort of a Let's Read, or perhaps like a Let's Look At. I want to talk about Rob Liefeld. That's nothing new to the podcast. We've done that many, many times. You know, Turk and I bitch about Liefeld quite a bit, but I've been seeing more and more of his activity online. For being such a controversial figure, he is very, very arrogant. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of look over some of his more notorious artwork. I mean, all of it's notorious, but you'll see what I mean. So, You know, I'm kind of in a fighting mood. And I feel like this would be a lot of fun to do with Turk, but, you know, we've usually got such a big docket of things we want to talk about. It's kind of hard to like, make time for everything. So I thought, you know, this could be a fun one to just kind of do solo. Plus, I think if, you know, if it were me and Turk looking over Rob Liefeld's storied career, then it would probably be like a 5-part episode. So we don't really want to do that. This is probably the easiest way to do things. So join me, won't you? This is essentially a let's Google, let's read, let's review kind of thing. So what I want everybody to do here is open up a new tab for your Google. This is something, this was actually not quite my introduction to Liefeld. I had actually, you know, I'd heard Scott McCloud talk about him in Understanding Comics. I've heard a couple of other webcomic artists talk about him. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to Google this guy, see what, you know, the discussion is about. And I came across something called Rob Liefeld's 40 Worst Drawings. Rob Liefeld's 40 Worst Drawings. So let's everybody Google this together. And this is from progressiveboink.com, so if you Google it, it'll be the top search result. And I figured we could kind of look over Liefeld's art and just kind of critique it. You know, it's... yeah, I don't consider myself exactly a Picasso or anything, but I've got some experience with the artworks. So I thought this might be fun, is to just kind of, like, bring a creator's eye to this. And what you, as our loyal listeners, can do is you can pull this up with me. We're just going to go to, you know, just Google Rob Liefeld 40 Worst, and top result here, Progressive Boink. So that's what I'm clicking on right now. And we're just going to see how this goes. So keep in mind, I'd only seen like a panel or so of Liefeld art from like Understanding Comics or Creating Comics or one of those Scott McCloud books. So I didn't know a whole lot about it. And the next time I heard Liefeld's name after reading those books was there was a webcomic artist who inked with Hunt 102s. Those are cool little scratchy crow quill pen nibs. They're great inking tools. I like them a lot. And God love his heart, this webcomic artist was like, yeah, man, I started using Hunt 102s when I was a kid because I learned that Rob Liefeld used these babies. And so I was like, well, you know, I enjoy this webcomic artist's artwork. He's obviously getting good results with the Hunt 102. Maybe I'll revisit Rob Liefeld. I Googled Rob Liefeld's name. I came across this. So I thought it'd be fun. You know, let's talk about this. You know, I'm here alone in the office. I'm cracking open some nice, I'm cracking open some mid-shelf scotch. And, you know, I just thought it'd be fun, you know? Let's just kind of look over some of these. So if you guys have the website up, you can just scroll right along with me, and we can have some fun with this. So, yeah, boy, you are going to base, if you've never looked at Liefeld's art before, and, you know, if you're listening to our podcast, I would imagine you're kind of into comics. I would imagine that you have to know about it, but, you know, if you're just one of those casual listeners, you're not quite as much into the comic scene as Turk and myself, then maybe this is your first exposure to Liefeld, in which case, you are about to basically experience what I experienced all those long, long years ago. So this is going to be fun. I know I'm talking pretty mellow right now. Maybe another shot will make me a little more combative here. You know, for those who know him, you know how this is going to go. For those who don't know him, it's a doozy. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time going into who Rob Liefeld is. I'm basically just going to summarize it that Rob Liefeld is a very infamous artist. Some people may exclusively know him as like the creator of Deadpool and Cable and characters like that. That's a whole thing. That is a whole thing. On par with, like, Stan Lee taking credit for Kirby's and Ditko's contributions to the Marvel Universe. On par with, like, Bob Kane versus Bill Finger's contributions to the creation of Batman. It's that kind of thing, but essentially, Rob Liefeld designed Deadpool and Cable and several other very popular characters, but yes, join me here on progressiveboink.com, the 40 worst Rob Liefeld drawings. This would definitely benefit, I'm just gonna say it right now, this would definitely benefit as being a video rather than just a podcast. I fully acknowledge that. Being able to sort of show these illustrations on screen, I think, would have a little more punch. But, you know, Turks out hanging out with pirates or whatever. And so, you know, I just figured this would be, you know, kind of an easy podcast to do. But yeah, I could kind of see making this like a video or something if we didn't have our very strict enmity with YouTube. Then I could see this making a decent video, you know, like, oh, comic artist reacts to Rob Liefeld drawings. But you know, we're not gonna do that. We're just gonna have a chill time on the podcast. So you know what, join me in my alcoholism, everybody. Crack open a drink. Pop on to the Progressive Boink. We're going to look over these. So I'm not going to read the article. I think that's borderline plagiarism. First thing they do is show a snippet of a cover. I think that's included in the drawing, so I'm not going to react to that. And then they do show a clipping from a news article where Rob Liefeld bought the sword from the first Conan the Barbarian, and he had Schwarzenegger sign it, and it's framed, and he's very, very proud of that. So good for him. Good for him, honestly. You know, Turk and I have talked, you know, if I had just, like, fuck you money, if I had, like, cash to burn, I would spend a lot of it on legitimate film props. You know, I think I would probably kill a man to get a hold of, like, Brad Pitt's jacket from Fight Club. And I know there are, like, replicas out there, but I want, like, the jacket. So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, I will say, this article does say, regarding the Conan sword, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Rob Liefeld, well, I'm sorry for this in advance. But so we're gonna actually read this clip, this little snippet here. I have Arnold Schwarzenegger's sword from the first Conan the Barbarian. After the premiere of True Lies, there was an auction and I bought that. On the blade, he signed Arnold Schwarzenegger. I have it framed and I have a big picture of him as Conan with that exact sword and a giant display in my theater room. Now we look at it and go, hey, it's the governor's sword. Once he fixes all of the rules, it will be the president's sword. Okay. I'm glad I read that. Good lord, I forgot about that. Oh god, I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah, you know. Old President Schwarzenegger. That aged beautifully. God, I'm glad I read that. But yeah, so we're gonna start with this. They actually have an article for 40 more of the worst Liefeld drawings, but we'll see how this one goes. We'll see if I feel like, you know, insulting my eyes, for 40 additional ones after this, but we're at least gonna do these first 40. We'll see how it goes. Alright, so let's scroll down here. Oh no, an error occurred. Application error. What? Okay, that's an ad. That's fine. So, yeah, this first one. I thought that was actually the cover of Bad Rock number one, but it's not. So it's just how Rob Liefeld draws chicks. So what we see here is a very, very thin woman, brunette. You know, I gotta zoom in on this. Whoops. Alright, so yeah. Thin woman, brunette. She's in an extremely skimpy outfit. And I think what we see here, speaking as somebody with some illustration experience, is an example of just bad anatomy. You know, I could riff on the fact that She's got that flat 80s S that Turk and I just do not care for. You know, we complain about that quite a bit, but no, I'm just going to kind of roast the anatomy here. The spine does not bend in three places. So there's that. Need I say more? I think anybody can like look at this and say, "Well, that's not what a human being looks like." You know, there's plenty of people who say, "Oh, Rob Liefeld's never seen a woman." I'm not entirely convinced that Liefeld has ever seen another human being. Like, this is rough. The spine just does not work that way. You basically, if you were to draw like a straight line going down at a 45 degree angle and then make it go straight downwards at a 90 degree angle and then change direction and go at another 45 degree angle. It's basically that. Her spine is like a bracket. And, it's also very confusing to me as an artist, how the anatomy works, that we can somehow see both breasts and yet both ass cheeks at the same time. Very confusing. Very confusing. Keep in mind, for those who are just coming into this and just learning about who Liefeld is, it's mind-boggling to me that this guy was huge in the 90s. Very, very popular artist in the 90s. People have he's kind of become a meme. People are kind of like, I'm not going to say they've come around, but, like, a lot of people, you know, have kind of just sort of jumped on the bandwagon for how notorious he is here. But yeah, I mean, this is rough. Now, let's see, is there anything else I can criticize on this piece? The placement of the arms. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So, a very common rule amongst artists is when you're drawing where the arm falls in relation to the torso, if you bend your elbow, you'll find, and everybody can follow along at home and check this out, that's cool. If you bend your arm at the elbow, you will find that your elbow falls right in line with your ribcage. And, old Rob did a really good job on this woman's right arm. That lines up with the bottom of her ribcage. For all the other flaws on this, I gotta give him props to that. But then if we look at this left arm that's kind of like trailing behind her, that elbow falls well below the ribcage and is actually in line with kind of her hip bone. It's really just a train wreck of anatomy. And really, this is a little too blurry to riff too much on the face, but they've got close-ups on, on faces later on in this article. I've looked over this many times. I've revisited this many times. If you are an artist and listening to this podcast, if you ever feel like your skills are just not developing, if you just feel like you are hot garbage, just look at this article. You'll feel better, I promise. I've done it many times. A funny anecdote, I'll probably just get into this before I get too far into this article. When I first discovered Liefeld and realized just what a train wreck of an artist this man is, I showed my sister, who knows literally nothing about art, I was like, "You gotta see this guy. You gotta see this Liefeld guy." And I showed her some of these pieces, and she was like, "Oh, I think he's pretty good." And I was like, "Oh, you poor dear lamb. You poor sweet summer child. You just don't know." So once I started pointing out the flaws, she kind of came around. But, you know, I think some people complain about Liefeld's shading. He utilizes a lot of, like, hatching and stuff. It doesn't look awful on this. I will say, on the left leg, which is the leg that is lacking all of the pouches. And for those in the know, Liefeld is very notorious for adding a lot of pouches to his characters' outfits. But yes, on the leg that is lacking the pouches on this piece, I will say, as far as that placement of the shading, that is a little bit weird. It almost seems arbitrary. Like, he put it there based off of how he thinks it would be visually interesting for him to draw, rather than how shadows realistically fall. And now, keep in mind, I am far closer to I'm far closer to, like, a Chuck Jones with my art style than I am with Jim Lee, let's say, or Jack Kirby. You know, I am a cartoonist through and through, but I understand anatomy, so that's the perspective that I'm coming at from here. Is, you know, you can, you know, even if you're like a, like, drawing Disney characters, you can still, like, figure out how basic shading works by holding a, like, a light bulb up to a tennis ball, or a ping pong ball, rather. So, that's rough. The whole issue with this piece is just structurally, structurally the anatomy is just not there, brah. Not there. Good grief. I'm not even gonna really get into, like, how ridiculously thin this chick is. I just can't get over that spine line. Like Homeboy legitimately had to draw that line of action. Which, I mean, maybe he didn't. Maybe that's the whole problem, is he didn't utilize a line of action. Google that term. This will be an art education for everybody. Google the term line of action if you're not familiar with it. But, yeah, that's rough. That's rough. They picked a good starter. They picked a really good starter, let me just say. A lot of people contend Liefeld has never seen a woman. I contend Liefeld may have never seen another human. Maybe he's just a mutant freak, and, you know, all he has to work off of are, like, mirrors. I don't know. Let's get down to the next one. Okay, wow. So, I'm pretty sure this is a DC character. Let's get back to regular screen size here. Is there any context on this in the, no, there's not. See, they don't even, like, maybe it's because the website's not loading properly for me because of the so-called application error, but, like, there's, it's not really numbering the drawings properly for me. But okay, yeah, it's showing a woman. It's like a bird's eye view, sort of a woman looking straight upwards at the camera, and, wow. Let's zoom back in here a little bit, shall we? Like, good lord. This Liefeld, I do not believe, colored this, but I'm just going to point out, this is very indicative of, like, 90s comics coloring. Like, Photoshop was just taking off really, really big in the comic industry. So there's a lot of, like, this soft airbrushy glow to artwork. A lot of times I see that style of coloring and I think Image Comics, I think this perfectly demonstrates the issue with the way Liefeld draws. And again, you know, I'm talking about this from an artist's perspective. This may not be super interesting to non-artists, but, you know, typically you want to, like, start with your line of action, and that's actually the line of the spine, and that's very popular amongst animators and stuff. So you're basically drawing, like, a line showing, here's the whole flow of the drawing, and then from there you want to, like, kind of construct a loose gesture of the character, and then from there you build up the basic anatomy, get all your proportions right. From what I understand, there was a video series that Stan Lee, believe it or not, put out called Comic Book Greats, and he brought Liefeld on because Liefeld was one of their big sellers at the time. And Liefeld said that what he did was he just started by drawing the head and then constructing the body from there. And Todd McFarlane of Spawn fame was there, and he said, oh, well, that's why you suck. So, but I feel like this is a perfect indicator of that. It looks like he just drew the head and then kind of drew the upper body around it and then drew the rest of it. And it's not anatomically correct. Like, there's no way for a spine to bend that way. And I know some people want to, like, defend Liefeld by saying, you know, oh, you know, it's a superhero comic. You know, people don't turn into Hulks. People don't fly through space. And it's like, I get that. I get the suspension of disbelief, but at the same time, There are certain rules to art as far as just, like, visual appeal, and drawing a spine that is, like, not constructed properly is just not the move. So that's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. God, I feel like I'm not being super funny roasting this guy. This is a little more analytical than I wanted it to be, but I feel like so much of this just speaks for itself, too. Like, my lord, this is just... Oh, shit, who's texting me? Come on, people, I'm recording. Nope, nobody knows I'm recording. Okay, that's Mac. Hi, Mac. Be cool if I could have organized a collaboration with Mac in Turk's absence, but you know, he just popped up and he's like, oh, pirates or whatever, so whatever. He'll get it figured out. I believe in him. I believe in him. All right. Okay. So this next one looks like it's from... it is a closing panel from... from, like, a precursor to X-Force? Because at the bottom, it says, starting this June, X-Force. And if this doesn't whet your appetite, we don't know what will. X-Force, monthly from Marvel. And, yeah. Whew. His helmet kind of looks like Shadowhawk. If nobody's listened to me and Turk read through Shadowhawk issue 10, it is a wild one. It's a rough one. It's a rough one. I can't remember what we called that episode, but yeah, you should listen through our backlog. There's some pretty good stuff there. But yeah, so we've got this character with like a Shadowhawk helmet. Man, Turk would give me so much shit for not recognizing these characters. Like I'm not saying Turk's a Rob Liefeld fanboy. Far from it. Turk feels even more strongly about Liefeld than I do. But, yeah, I think he'd be like, what, don't you recognize this guy? And it's like, no. But, what can we say about this? Jeez, the anatomy, I mean, I can't just riff on the anatomy every time. The hand is serviceable, but it does not look great. Obviously, the index finger is, like, way longer than the middle finger. That's pretty bad, but... I think what we need to talk about here is the crosshatching on this, the shading. I'm a big fan of crosshatching. Like, one of the things that got me into being into independent comics, like, and, you know, Turk and I have talked about this on many, many episodes. Turk is more of a classical superhero enjoyer. And I am more into the indie comics scene. You know, I like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. I like Cerebus. I like Bone. And that's something like we kind of feed off of each other. We introduce each other to a lot of like really cool stuff. But it's kind of like that meme. average superhero fan, average indie comics enjoyer. But, you know, being a fan of indie comics, I'm a big fan of Cerebus. And Cerebus, the background artist, you know, Dave Sims is the writer and artist of Cerebus. The background artist is Gerhard. I've met him. He's a super nice guy. Gerhard really makes good utilization of crosshatching. In a lot of ways, I think he popularized it. Not necessarily with Liefeld, but just with, like, 80s and 90s art in general. I think Gerhard was a big reason why a lot of artists aspired to get good at cross-hatching. He makes it look amazing. And one of the reasons for that is that he utilizes a very thin pen line. He actually uses the same type of dip pen that Liefeld used. They all used Hunt 102s. That was just kind of the standard at that point. But I bring all that up because crosshatching looks really, really good if you're using very small crosshatching. The smaller your crosshatching, the more it kind of looks like just a shade of gray instead of, like, big, blocky lines. What we have here in this piece, not the case, bro. Not the case. These are very broad crosshatching, and it just kind of looks like somebody took a felt tip marker or something, or like a ballpoint pen, and it's just, it's, the crosshatching is not fine enough. And it makes the whole thing look muddy. Like, there's no real consistency to it. There is a definite light source, because the helmet and the person's face both have shading placed in a similar vein, but it really just kind of looks like he's filling space with lines, which, well, I mean, I guess ultimately, to be fair, what is drawing but filling space with lines? But geez whiz, man, like, it looks like he's just kind of like, oh, I don't want to detail this, so I'm gonna just do cross-hatching. But oh, cross-hatching takes a long time, so instead I'm just gonna do like five lines going this way to the left and then five lines going the other way to the right. So it's like, I don't have any issue with cross-hatching, but the way he does it, it's just, it doesn't look good. I mean, what else can I say? Jeez. I mean, I know that's like saying, oh, this guy just needs to sing better. And it's like, well, how does he sing better? Like, give him some constructive criticism. But really, like, the cross-hatching is too broad. It makes the whole thing look muddy. Like, really, there's nowhere for my eyes to rest as I'm looking over this entire panel. God, I feel like I'm not being funny here. I mean, well, this is Our Moms Think We're Funny. Are we ever really all that funny? I don't know. But I will say, that Widow's Peak, that is some Vegeta, Prince of the Saiyans level of Widow's Peak. That's pretty rough. And I don't know, I don't think this character's Cable. Like, I know what Cable looks like. I've drawn Cable before. I don't think he's Cable, but he's got the same kind of, like, glowing eye job going on. I don't know. It's just, like, it was a thing of the 90s. They wanted their art to, like, kind of look a bit gritty and, like, a bit dark, and, you know, it was basically like, oh yeah, you know, this isn't that Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko stuff, we're mature, but, you know. It's sort of like a Shadow the Hedgehog versus Sonic the Hedgehog level of mature, like, it's all kind of autistic at the end of the day. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to put into words, because this is not visual, again, it's kind of hard to put into words, but really, like, if you're going to crosshatch, keep your lines pretty close together and don't use lines that are too thick, you know? Like, you don't want to use a pen that draws really thick lines to make crosshatching look good. And that's exactly what Bobby did here. So, you know. Alright, so our next piece here, wow, oh man, we're already 32 minutes in. Good grief, I'm only on piece number 38. We're gonna have to go faster here, because, like, if we ever do 40 more of the worst Liefeld drawings, then good grief, man. Okay, so it looks like this is the cover to X-Force number 3. Wow, back in the day when comics were only a dollar a piece. So, good God, there's a lot to unpack here. Now, what's cool about this is that this cover is a perfect example of Liefeld avoiding drawing feet at any cost. Like, there's a couple of feet on here. But not many. Like, you can see, like, with Cable there in the background, his feet are cut off. You can see with Juggernaut, his foot is, like, conveniently placed directly behind a big smoke cloud. You know, you've got Warpath back there, his feet covered up by the dust cloud. And that's another example of how far apart his lines are with the cross-hatching. Like, cross-hatching does not look good when your lines are that far apart. It just looks lazy. Like, it looks like he drew this super small. So what else? I mean, the shading, kind of arbitrary. What's funny is that the couple of characters whose feet are actually on display here, the feet just kind of taper off to a point. And I guess he's kind of trying to go for a sort of semi-anime thing, but it doesn't look good. Like, that is probably the most unappealing Juggernaut I've ever seen. And I love Juggernaut. Like, Juggernaut's a great, great character. I mean, he's not, like, a super deep or complex character, but he's a great design. Like, I've ever since I was a kid, like, 5 or 6, watching the X-Men animated series, I loved Juggernaut. Loved him. I think I had an action figure of Juggernaut. Just loved the guy. And, like, this just looks bad. Like, his pelvis is as wide as his pectoral muscles. His thighs are, like, homeboy's thick.
Homeboy is, like, thicker than a Snicker. He's got, like, thighs wider than his arms. It's rough. Liefeld really likes drawing his guys with thick thighs, man. But, like, what I wanna point out here for those following along is just, like, look at this Spider-Man. Like, he's caked up, that's all I can really say. Like, man alive. People were giving, like, Milo Manara shit when he did that Spider-Woman cover way back in the day. I mean, I say way back in the day, like, that's, like, probably been the past 5 to 10 years. Milo Manara, amazing artist. He is no life hell. He's, like, great, great artist. He did a Spider-Woman cover, and people were complaining about the pose, but, like, oh, man, this Spider-Man. And what's funny is the way he's drawing the webbing here. It's like he's trying to do what Todd McFarlane would do with the webbing, and just failing miserably, really. Like, when Todd McFarlane started drawing Spider-Man, and McFarlane is an amazing Spider-Man artist, but the way he would do the webbing, the editors referred to it as spaghetti webbing because it was very stringy looking, and he made it look good. It was a really, really good look. I liked it. I don't know. Perhaps Turk would agree with me. If he ever gets done playing with his pirate buddies or whatever, maybe he can, you know, kind of chip in with that. But yeah, like, I always really, really appreciated the way McFarlane handled Spider-Man's webbing. The way Liefeld's doing it on this cover, not the move. Not the move. It just, like, It's basically, like, really bad Todd McFarlane Spider-Man fan art. Oh, man, I'm watching the clock, and it's like, we gotta get through 40 of these. We're not gonna have time. Okay, so next, we've got a Youngblood Deathshot Deathmate Red The Blood's For You cover. I tried clicking on it, because I thought that might make it a little bit easier to look at, but no. What is there to say about this? Well, you know, I mean, I can't bitch about the anatomy on every single one of these. Just, like, rest assured the anatomy is bad. So maybe just to, like, save us some time, what I can do is just point out, like, one or two specific things from each one. So what have we here, huh? Honestly, what I'm going to complain about on this one is this character in the background, which I know nothing about Youngblood, I know nothing about Bloodshot. It's totally out of my wheelhouse, you know. Ask me about Sam Keith's The Max, ask me about Tank Girl, I can have a conversation with you. Youngblood and Bloodshot, no clue. They seem to really like blood in 90s comics. But what I'm going to bitch about on this one is this character in the background with the Japanese rising sun tattooed on his chest. Look at the sword that he's holding in his right hand. He's got a gun on his left, he's got a sword on the right. And if you look at the handle of the sword, it almost looks like he drew the hilt of the sword separately from the base of the hilt. It's like the handle doesn't properly connect. If I were to draw the handle straight through the character's fist, it would not line up properly. Maybe that's a little incomprehensible to non-artists, but I feel like anybody who's, like, ever drawn a hand holding a sword, you know what I'm getting at here. Like, it's not great. I will say I'm seeing a bit of same face syndrome here too. Like, the characters both have the exact same mouth as they're screaming, so that's a bit funny. But yeah, I mean, like, God, this is peak 90s, I will say. You got two characters, or two titles with blood in the name. Young Blood, Bloodshot, and then Deathmate Red, This Blood's For You. Like, man, they liked their blood back then. Good grief. Good grief. Okay, oh, we're getting into some actual comic panels now. This is good. So, number 36. Oh, jeez, it's a Deadpool panel, and my lord. I mean, God, the cross-hatching is bad. I hate to say it. Now, some people might want to bitch about this background, how it's just kind of like scribbled lines. I don't hate that. That doesn't look half bad. The problem with it is that it kind of blends into the background a little bit because he's trying to draw every textured grain of the wood. But, yeah, we've got a Deadpool panel here, and I can't quite make sense of... Oh, no, I see. It looks like this villain fighting Deadpool kind of launched his hand off of his arm, and it's floating free over Deadpool. And, you know, it's almost like it's kind of hovering over him to molest him. It's like, oh, hey, kid, it's your Uncle Larry. But, just the anatomy, man. The anatomy's so bad, like... For those who don't know, the story of like how Liefeld got hired onto Marvel is that he took his portfolio to a Comic-Con and presented it to editors at Marvel, and they took like one look at his work and they were like, yeah, man, welcome aboard, welcome to Marvel. And they hired him right there on the spot, and he was like 16 or 17, like super, super young. But like looking at this, it's like, good grief, this is just, oof, this is rough, this anatomy is so bad. Poor Deadpool. Deadpool's right hand, too. Like, for those looking along, like, ugh, that's rough. The guy fighting Deadpool, his right arm is not exactly the same length as his left arm, and where the hand falls doesn't make sense in relation to the pelvis. Like, it's all pretty bad. Oh, but hey, you know what? I was going to say we could, like, do a little drinking game and like, take a shot every time we see a character with, like, a shit ton of pouches on their outfit, but I feel like we would die. And I kind of pre-gamed coming into this. I'm already, like, 4 shots in. So, wow. Yeah. This... Oh, I just noticed. For anybody looking along. Compare the guy fighting Deadpool. Compare his left thigh to his right thigh. See the difference in size there? There's no foreshortening there. Like, his feet are spaced exactly the same width apart. It's not like he's stepping forward, but his left thigh is, like, way, way thicker than his right thigh. It's almost like the equivalent of, like, when you see guys who just discovered masturbation and their right arm is like totally muscular and their left arm isn't. It's kind of like that, but with legs. It's making me think of that meme reaction. It's like, incomprehensible, have a good day. Like, I would love to know the context of this piece, but God, it's just rough, man. Like, you know, As a millennial, it was a really common thing amongst millennial artists to, like, bitch about, you know, oh, I draw the left eye perfectly, but then I try to draw the right eye, and they don't match up, and they, like, the left eye looks good, the right eye looks bad. It's all, but, like, that's what Liefeld's coming across here with his legs. Those legs are just not even remotely the same size. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into that pelvis size. That's just, whew. And plus, it's a weird outfit, but you know what? It was the 90s, whatever. The 90s were a golden decade as far as I'm concerned. Okay, next one, number 35. We got another panel. Ooh. You want it, sugar? You got it. Bullets looks like they're moving so slow, even thumb can dodge them. Guards hardly seem to move at all. So, I'm sure that would make more sense if we were actually reading the story, but... I can only... Okay. So, thank God I decided to read this part of the character, of the article. So, in the article, they explain, this character's name is Forearm. F-O-R-E-A-R-M. So, Forearm. We all got those. But his name is Forearm because he's a character with four arms. And Liefeld drew him. And, you know, there's not a whole lot to say about this particular piece. This chick flying in the background, I have no idea who the character is. This chick flying in the background, he really made a noble effort at foreshortening. Didn't look good. What this reminds me of is, like, way back in the 80s, when the Ninja Turtles were just a self-published comic. And when it was just Eastman and Laird doing their own thing, putting out their own comics, they actually put out a How to Draw the Ninja Turtles book, and it was pretty cool. You know, like, before it was all this, like, 30-minute toy commercial Fred Wolf cartoon, back when the Ninja Turtles were, like, really, really cool black-and-white Mirage Comics, you know, self-published stuff from the 80s, in that How to Draw book, they were like, you know what, if you don't understand foreshortening, then you run the risk of, like, drawing a character whose foot attaches at the knee. And I think that's what we see with this chick flying in the background. Like, I know a lot of people want to focus in on forearm here, but, like, this chick flying in the background is just, like, it's a total lack of understanding of how foreshortening works. He does have those anime speed lines where she's flying, but, yeah. Not great, not great. I do really love Forearm's snarl here. It's like Elvis on crack, so I gotta give him that. That turned out pretty good. But yeah, you know, they want to give him shit for, like, naming a character Forearm when the guy has four arms. But, you know. Oh, no, I do see, though. So, Turk has complained about this. Turk, whenever you get done playing with your pirate buddies, you can address this. But Turk has complained about this. Characters with four arms, you know, it's a pretty common character design trait because, you know, it does look cool. But, you know, you got, like, Machamp from Pokemon. You've got Goro from Mortal Kombat. And Turk's big complaint has always been that, you know, in order to have four arms that actually work, you would have to have two sets of pecs. You know, that's all connected. That's all part of how the anatomy works. But if we look at forearm here, I was so distracted by the flying chick with the weird conehead helmet. But if we look at the way forearm's third arm is attaching here, it doesn't even make sense. Like, that's bad. I never even noticed that. I was trying so hard not to just riff exclusively on Liefeld's terrible anatomy. Didn't even realize it, but my god, that's bad. That's bad. It's like his third out of his four arms is attached, like, on the front of his torso? Doesn't make sense. Actually, I was first distracted by the terrible dialogue, but wow. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Okay. 34. Oh, man. This is probably going to be a two-parter. Good grief. I was not expecting this to go on this long. But just imagine if Turk were here. This would be like a 20-part episode. Oh, God. The bath scene. Okay, we got an X-Force panel, I believe. And I think, yeah, is that Domino? Yeah, that's Domino. Domino and Cable are chilling in a hot tub together. And, you know, some people might want to complain about that smoke. I think the smoke actually looks pretty good. So a good job on that one, Rob. Bobby. Good job on the smoke, but Domino, man. Wow, that... Domino's face, I mean, it's very basic, I'm just gonna say. Like, he's drawing the character so small that, like, he can't get a lot of details on the face, but it's very, very lacking in detail. But, I noticed he didn't actually draw in Cable's metallic arm. He just kind of was like, yeah, I'll leave that to the colorist. I'll leave that to the colorist. You can do some of my job for me. Kind of a weird angle, but not the worst thing I've ever seen. This is not the most egregious of the panels that they've shown. But yeah, no, I mean, I think this article is actually complaining about the smoke plumes. I like the smoke. I like the way Liefeld draws smoke. I said it, you know, I mean, that is not a problematic thing to me. Smoke can be really tricky to draw, and I like the way he does it here. But, Cable's gigantic thigh, and Domino's, like, half-oval and, like, a line for the eye and two dots for the nose, like, that's not great, but, now, that said, the article does make a valid point. Domino is supposed to be significantly smaller than Cable. Let me zoom out a little bit here. Yeah, okay, I see what the complaint here is. Domino is not supposed to be that much, like, that's similar in size to Cable. Cable's a big dude. For those who, like, read Marvel Comics, they would know. Cable is a gigantic man. Very, very jacked. played by Thanos actor Josh Brolin. But here, she is, like, the exact same size as Cable. Which, yeah, not exactly the way the character's designs are supposed to work. Cable's supposed to be substantially bigger than her. I would not complain about a woman as tall as Cable, personally. You know, if Domino were really that tall, hey, I'd be all about it. But yeah, that's not how the characters were designed. So, okay, I get the complaint here. I guess I should be actually, like, reading snippets of this article, but, you know, whatever. This is my damn podcast now. Okay, we got a Cable and Deadpool cover. In spot number 33. Oh god, this one article. We're 50 minutes in and we're only like 7 pictures in. Man, I'm gonna have to pick up the speed. I had like so many other topics in mind for these solo episodes, and all it's gonna be is reviewing like Rob Liefeld's shitty art. Oh god. I didn't think this through at all. I didn't think it would take this long. Okay, there's not a lot to comment on here. It's very flashy Photoshop drawings. Cable is really over-textured with his muscles. And it's a classic Liefeld screaming face. So, okay, we didn't have to spend a lot of time on that. Like, if you look at Cable's mouth there, that screaming mouth, that's very classic Liefeld. Okay, number 32. Hey, we didn't spend a lot of time on that one. Number 32, very bad cross-hatching. Just terrible cross-hatching. Bad hair. And, this may be a fun exercise for people. If you remove all the texturing from Liefeld's faces, you actually see just how out of proportion all this is. Like, the nose is way too small. The eyes don't line up with the ears properly. The ears have a big gaping hole instead of, like, a reasonably proportioned earlobe. And that mouth, yo, what that mouth do. But fortunately, instead of, like, a bazillion teeth like Liefeld typically draws, there's only, like, you know, a few hundred too many teeth. So that's a promising one. But yeah, that cross-hatching, man, that's bad. I have looked at this article probably 8 or 9 times in my life, and I don't think I ever quite realized just how bad Liefeld handles his cross-hatching. I'm always so focused on the anatomy, but now, maybe it's the alcohol, but I am seeing just exactly how badly he handles his cross-hatching. Okay, okay, yeah, they make a valid point in this article. So I will touch on that really briefly. I'm trying not to eat up, you know, an entire 4 hours on just 40 of Rob Liefeld's shittiest drawings. Ugh. But, you know, they do make a valid point, and I'd kind of forgotten that, to bring that up. But when you're drawing faces, every line you add to the face adds to the age. They say that specifically on this article, but it is very, very true, speaking as an artist. So when you're utilizing all of this hatching, it really just makes your character look bad. So, I'll agree with them on that. They're fully right there, that, like, all of this cross-hatching on the face just makes the character look like a fucking mummy. But then, like, I don't even know what's going on with these eyes, man. These eyes look terrible. These eyes just look terrible. Jeff, above you, it's terrible cross-hatching. I will say, it looks like he used a ruler to cross-hatch that face, so, that's a bold decision, but it's not a good decision. Okay, number 31, oh my lord, I forgot about all this stuff. I mean, what is there to say? The smoke looks good, you got that classic 90s flat top, but man, this guy's thighs! This guy's thighs, man. Like, good grief. Each thigh takes up, like... Oh, man, I don't even know how to, like, proportion it. Each thigh is, like, 70% of the torso. Like, that's bad. It's really... There's characters in the background, though. Anybody look at the characters in the background? They're literally just stick figures. But yeah, no, like, if you want your... If you're into superhero art, and you're drawing superhero stuff, and you want your character to look really jacked, you want his upper body to look significantly bigger than his lower body. So, giving this guy, like, these bussin' thunder thighs, not a good move. This is probably also a good opportunity to point out, and, you know, like, pause, granddad, but everybody look at the way Liefeld draws his character's crotches. He always has, like, all these wrinkles in the crotchal region. It's not a good move. It's not a good move. God, it's like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Just, oh, a huge, terrible, bulging man. It's like that. Like, you don't need that many crotch wrinkles in your character's pants. Even if they're wearing skin-tight pants, you don't need that many crotch wrinkles. But I did learn something about myself tonight. You know, I learned that I actually like the way Liefeld draws smoke. Like, in the future, if I ever need to draw, like, cigar smoke or cigarette smoke, I will reference a Liefeld panel. I will. I'll do it. I'm threatening you with a good time. But yeah, like, just general rule of thumb, you don't want to give your male characters legs that thick or that long. You know, it's just a bad move. Just a bad move. Oh, God! We're 55 minutes in! We're 55 minutes in, and we're only on drawing 30. I didn't think this through at all. I'm sorry, listeners. Turk, if you're there, I'm sorry. This wouldn't have happened if you'd been here, Turk. Oh, no. Jeez. Okay. I owe everybody an apology, because I said in a really flippant, shitty way, I was like, well, you know, if me and Turk were both here riffing on Liefeld's art, then, you know, this would be a 5-part episode. It may well be with me going solo, so, you know, we gotta think about that. Wow, okay, well, we got 10 more parts to go. I'm gonna pause for a few seconds just to make editing a little bit easier for me, but, we will be back in just a moment, folks. Good grief. I didn't realize that it took us an hour to get through 10 of these things. God, okay. Catch you guys in part 2.
All right there, folks. That was Our Moms Think We're Funny. Let's give them a hand.